Go ahead and get started. I am glad to see you guys here. If you are new, if you don't know who all everybody is, my name's Mark. Mark Thompson. I'm part of the messaging team. So occasionally I get up here to speak, and I'm always glad to see people here that I know, and I'm glad to see people I don't know. It's fun, right? Like, I'm excited for you guys. So I want to just, I'll start with a little prayer and then we'll just roll. So, man, Lord, I am grateful to be here. And I'm aware that you meet us at the point of our need. So this morning, as we confess that we need you, then you show up. So I certainly need you, Lord, and I feel like all of us are in that place where if you don't show up, it's really not worth coming here today. And so we're just feel like you met us in worship time, and I feel like you want to continue to meet us. So I just speak that over this family, that we'll be aware of our need for you and be aware of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with a couple of things. I call it challenges. I don't know. This is like just this renewing our thinking about this. Number one is, when I read a scripture, I want you to actually think, to actually believe that the scripture I read is for you specifically. Like you could put your name on it. And I'm trying to sell that a little bit. I'm being a little bit of a salesman. But here's what I was thinking about. Because we just passed Christmas, right? And Neil, I was thinking about the Salvation Army bell ringers. Yeah. There's two kinds of people, right? There's the people that hear those bells and it kind of irritates you. And you're like, oh, and you just like, you put your head down and you're sort of glad to get past them, right? And then there's the guys that the bell makes me go, oh yeah, it's Christmas time. Oh yeah, the Salvation Army's going. I probably ought to help those guys out, you know, and you decide you're just going to be helpful. My opinion is that most of us, if not all of us, make that decision about the time we get out of the car. And you just barely first start hearing those bells. And then in that moment, you decide, like, I'm going to be someone that helps, or I wish they wouldn't do that. It really bugs me, right? And so I'm applying that to this idea about believing the scripture. Like, there's two kinds of people. We're either going to really say, oh, yes, this is for me, and I'm going to apply it. And we're just going to decide to say yes to what God's going to speak before he speaks it. Or we're just going to be a little irritated that someone's bugging us about it, right? And ringing the bells louder is not going to help. So I'm just throwing that out as a challenge for us, that we'll believe today that when the scripture's read and whatever is spoken from the Lord, you'll actually take it in and say, that's for me. I believe that. That's for me. And by the way, the title of this was Gifting and Calling, and we decide as a message team, like kind of the series, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently than you might expect from the title. Like, I'm not going to hammer the lists that are famously in the scripture, and they are written out there if you want them, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. And I'm not discounting that. I'm not discounting that those titles are meaningful and useful and all that, but I'm doing a little bit different approach. Instead of just listing out and trying, you know, everybody sorting out where do I fit in. And part of that is, depending on your personal history and your history with the church and all that, we can get some kind of goofy ways that we interpret those lists and those names. And that caused me to reflect kind of the way I was raised. I was raised in what's called a Pentecostal Holiness Church. Not super famous, but if you know churches at all, it's a little bit like Assembly of God or a little bit like the Nazarene Church, but with tongues. And this is my experience. No matter what the list said, my experience were there were actually three giftings or callings. One was the pastor, but in that denomination, you called him the preacher. So there was the preacher, there was a song leader, and there were Sunday school teachers. And it was surprising how many times the Sunday school teachers and the song leaders, you know, changed places, especially the Sunday school leaders, because my brother and I, both my brothers and I, were pretty ornery, and my cousins were really ornery, especially Scary Larry. And it was amazing how many times a Sunday school teacher would feel called to take a season and go sit in the adult Sunday school class. But so the only one you really counted on was the preacher. So essentially, in my life, there was one gifting and calling. It was the preacher. And he was, it was his job to have 52 life-changing sermons every year and to show up for every time someone was in the hospital, every funeral, every wedding, every baptism, and also mow the lawn, paint the church, you know, whatever else needed to be done. That was, there was one job. And then everybody else just showed up and then got aggravated if he went long, right? That was the two jobs in the church. And this is amazing to me when I think about it, but in my small town, Southeast Colorado, at 12 o'clock noon on Sunday, they tested the fire alarm in the town. It was a big siren, and they tested it every Sunday at 12 o'clock noon. And you could hear it clearly in every church because the town was a mile by 1 mile. And so if you were speaking when the alarm went off, when that siren went off, you were done. Didn't matter. So anyway, that's just a side note. But I'm just saying that the way you're raised can really jack with even how you interpret, like, all those positions that you would read in Scripture. And so I'm really taking a different kind of an organic approach to what I'm going to say about giftings and callings. What I'm really going to talk about is kind of this thing that creates who you are. Like, what is it that makes you tick? What brings you motivation? What makes you want to get up in the morning? Kind of a bigger organic picture about that. If for some reason you did want to look at all those lists, we had a little series that Justin did a year, 2 years ago in July. So you can look it up on the website. It's called Fostering the Spiritual Gifts, and it was in 2022 in July and August. So there you go. But let's start out with a scripture out of Ephesians 5:15 through 17, and it's a translation by a guy, J.B. Phillips. He translated back in the 40s and the 50s. And I really like this take on this scripture, Ephesians 5:15 through 17. And it says, "Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do." So what a powerful phrase, right? Let's live not like guys that don't know the meaning of life, but we know the meaning of life. Let's live like that. Make the best use of your time despite all the evils of these days. Don't be vague, but grasp firmly what you know to be the will of God, the will of the Lord. There's a lot in that that sounds a little bit beyond us sometimes, right? Like, it's easy to say, oh yeah, you know the meaning of life and you will know, you know what God's will is. But this is the way God's calling us to live. So how do we live in that way? And this is my premise, that to really live responsibly, we need to know what gives our life meaning. You know, live with a due sense of responsibility as those who know the meaning of life. And that's another way you could say the same thing, is what is sort of our life message? What gives us significance? What is the thing that gives us purpose? And that's what I'm working on today. And by the way, we could all say that Jesus is, you know, where we get our purpose, right? And like, almost sounds religious, but it really is true. I mean, Jesus is the center of it. So we'll be clear about that. I do like that scripture in Acts 17:28. And Paul's talking to the guys in Athens, and he's looking at all their gods, the tomb of the unknown God, all those kinds of things. And he says, look, Jesus is the center. Jesus is the one. In him we live and move and have our being. So we're going to be clear about that. But there's a little bit more to it. It's like, how do we relate to Jesus, right? How does he use our personality, our natural strengths, the circumstances of our life to clarify what is our gift and calling? What is our meaning? How is it that we're supposed to walk through this world, right? So that's where I think we get our particular sense of destiny and mission. So I want to start with a few examples from Scripture of how you can see this different styles in different writers. Because I really think it comes down to, like, we're all who we are, how God made us, and we're all a little different. And so for me, it's really interesting to look at different writers throughout Scripture and say, what is their thing, right? Like, what is their thing that they always emphasize? So I'll give you a couple of examples from the New Testament, one from the Old. One of the guys from the New Testament, John the disciple, I mean, he authored a big part of the Scripture. He was Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, probably Revelation. And we think of his life message. When you think about John, you think of love. Like, he's the guy, God so loved the world, right? And he was the one that really emphasized that. One of the Scriptures that is points that out, John 13, 34 and 35. So I'm not preaching about love. I'm preaching about this guy's style and how it informs his way of life. But in John 13, 34, he says, this is John quoting Jesus. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So it's like blah, 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 love, 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 right? Well, here's the thing that I think is significant is this is a time when Jesus is with his guys at the Last Supper. And he's already called out Judas that one of you is going to betray me. He's here with us now. Judas got upset and left. And everyone's clear it's a special meal. Like, he set it up. He did this prophetic stuff to create this setting. So he's there. Everything he says is so important. And it's like clear, like, this is maybe his last words, or it's certainly significant. They might not have quite clicked. That's his last words, but they clicked. It was significant. And then Jesus says these words. This is how you know, by love, right? Nobody else recorded this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, no one else wrote this down. Only John said, oh, love. And his little antenna went off. His little love thing went off, right? Because that's his deal. And, when you read through John compared to Matthew, Mark, Luke, the word love itself, Matthew uses it 10 times. Mark uses it 6 times. Luke uses it 10 times. John uses it 20 times. So twice as much as anybody else. If you were to use the word loved with a D at the end, loved, Matthew never uses that word. Mark uses it once. Luke uses it once. And John uses it 21 times. Right? And 5 of those times he's talking about himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Right? So this is, anyway, I'm just making that strong point that that's his deal, right? So I'm saying there's a deal for us. There was a deal for him, there's a deal for us. You read about Paul and you're like, this is a guy that disciples people. Like, Paul's, you know, way of being, his way of walking through the world is all he cared about is, I want to disciple people. I want to create disciples. I want to speak into their life and I want to say, you be like me. And he would actually say that, like 1 Corinthians 11, 1. And I'm not going to perseverate, but I want you to get this for sure, what we're saying. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And he says that throughout all these scriptures, several ways, several times. He says it in Titus chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says this, in the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So he just says that in different ways over and over and over. Like, follow my example. You know me. Do what I do. Follow me, right? And so this is when we think about Paul, we think that's his deal, is he's a discipler. So now what I want you to start thinking is like, well, what's my deal? John was the love guy. Paul was the disciple guy, the father. An Old Testament example, and really, if you start looking at Old Testament stories, you kind of could start labeling all these guys, but maybe the obvious one is about Moses. Like, Moses was the deliverer. He was the guy. And if you read all of Exodus chapter 2, you'll see that this is where Moses is called out and set in motion. But let me just start with, I'm sorry, I said Exodus chapter 2. I'm in Exodus chapter 3. I'll give you the exact verse 10, where God sets this in Moses. He says, "So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And this was radical. So they had been in Egypt for hundreds of years. It's not like this was, you know, we just got to Egypt, let's get out of here. Like, this is generations and generations. This is where we are. This is our place. And Moses had this wild story, of course, where he was an Israelite who was supposed to be killed, and he wasn't. He was rescued and raised in the house of Pharaoh. And God said, actually, at the burning bush, actually, I want you to rescue my people out of Egypt. Like, big deal. You're the deliverer. And you'd think, like, wow, that's just out of left field. Why would you think Moses is the deliverer, right? Well, here's wild. If we do back up to chapter 2, before God spoke to Moses, there's this little occasion in verse 11 and 12 where one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that and seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now, I'm like, wait a second. You know, if I saw someone picking on somebody, I might say, hey, stop. What are you doing? Or I might go to their boss and tattle on them, right? But Moses wasn't called to be a reconciler. He wasn't called to sort of just guide people like that. He was the deliverer. That was before God even spoke to him. What I'm saying is that's who Moses was. That was his wiring, right? That was how he was moving in this world. So that's the kind of the basis I want to lay down here, is that we have this particular life message, this particular way of walking through the world. And when we start saying about gifts and callings and you start looking at the lists, where you need to start is, yeah, but how am I wired? Like, how has God made me? What is the thing that really speaks to me? And then that's where I think we get back to what is the purpose? What is the meaning and purpose of life? All right. So I do want to start with Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. Because there is this sort of fundamental idea that we have to think about. Because God did create us a certain way, for sure. Like, I've raised four kids. If you've raised kids, and I'm not going to give call Grace out as an example. We were joking about that yesterday, that, you know, if you're my kid, you've been in a lot of my sermons. But, you know, if you've raised more than one child, they're different, right? Can I get a amen on that? If you've raised multiple kids, your kids are different. There is a particular way that God created us. And I just think it's in our, we're hardwired to be a certain style. And God uses that in ways that only he can do as we grow up and we figure stuff out. I'm taking a bunny trail here, but I was praying for this family in Mexico, and they brought this kid up. He's probably like 11 years old, and he was a handful. Right, like, obviously a handful, and mom's dragging him up, and there's just all this, like, this edge to him, and he's just all fiery and energetic and wanted to go running around and do stuff and break stuff. You know, he was just that kind of a kid. And God just spoke to me in that moment, and I said, you know what, this kid's a warrior. And that's what I spoke to him, and I spoke to his mom, and it's like you could see the lights going off, like, God made you to battle. And you're not made to sit in the background. You're made to be on the front lines with a sword, right? God made you to battle like that. And I was like, For me, it was clear, but for them, it was like the lights went on, you know, like, oh, that's why he's like that. That's great. Because then you could have some direction to go, right? Okay, so where was I? Ephesians 1, verse 17. This is the need that we have, though. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So see that need? The spirit of wisdom and revelation comes from God. It's a gift from God. What it implies is that if he doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. Right? So Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order to know the hope to which he has called you. Right? So we really do have this need of Jesus to meet us and to reveal to us, to expose in us what it is he's called us for and how he's made us. We really do need that. Okay, so our life might lead up to this moment when the Holy Spirit speaks, then we know, right? And that is really important. I've told this story like so many times, it's probably embarrassing for you guys that have heard me say it a few times, but not everybody's heard me say it, so I'll tell it. This is, I don't know how many years ago, we were at a prayer conference with Jim Stern, probably 11, 12 years ago now, something. And Al at the time, Pastor Al, and Justin at the time, director of the prayer room, right? And I were at this conference in St. Louis, and we had heard about this guy, Jim Stern. We saw him at a One Thing conference, and we decided to go to his prayer conference. We didn't know him yet. We just barely had met him, I think. And so we show up at this conference, and it's a decent-sized conference. There's a good handful of people, and here's Jim Stern, you know, the pastor of the church and, you know, running the conference. And he's just meeting people, just, you know, being a good guy, saying hi to everyone. And he comes up, and Al introduces himself, Pastor Al, at this little church out in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Oh, you're a pastor, great. So he meets him, and then Justin says, and I'm the director of this prayer room. We have this little prayer room, which we used to have downtown. So he meets him, oh, that's great. And then he turns to me and says, and are you a pastor too? And then I was kind of embarrassed. I was like, oh, no, I'm just the high school counselor. And then Jim says, oh, well, you pastor the whole city. And that was the moment the Holy Spirit just, like, exploded something in me, like, no kidding. I went, oh, yeah, that's what I do. I pastor the city. And the way I was translating that is like, I'm the father. Right? Hundreds of kids. I was there 30 years. Hundreds of kids. I'm like, oh, there's the meaning and purpose. Like, it was real, right? And it was really fun for me. I just did retire this last June, and I had so many photos on the walls and stuff. It filled up a couple of boxes, and I was looking at all these old photos, and like all these memories and kids. I didn't remember them, some of them, some I did, you know, and I was reading the backs of them because they'd write stuff like we used to do on the back of our photos, right? And some of them were like, Mr. Thompson, you're a good counselor and my best friend. I'm like, aw, right? Like, I'm trying to remember, who is that? And then I, you know, there's a couple of them actually, like, you're the father I never had. And it was so sentimental, but I was like, yeah, that's because God sent me here. This is the meaning and purpose of life for me. This, if you say, what's your gifting, what's your calling? I go, well, I'm father and children, you know? And I'm not trying to say I'm their dad. I get the difference, right? Because I've raised kids. But there's a place where you're there, that's your way of being. It's the way you move, it's the way you operate. That's how you start saying, this is the reason I get up in the morning. It was really encouraging when that kind of clicked for me. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, please. And just imagine that someone's ringing bells right now and they're just getting obnoxiously loud because there's a scripture that we need to take to heart. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So all those ways that God uses gifts and service, and in everyone, God is at work. You have to take that to heart. Go, everyone, wait a second. I'm part of that. I'm part of everyone. Now to each one, and you can't escape that. To each one, I could be like a jerk and start naming names, right? To each one, there is given through the Spirit. And then it gives a list, message of knowledge by means to another faith, to the blah, 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 right? Starts listing them out. So what I really am hoping that we'll take to heart is that we all have a place. We all have this job. I want to read this same scripture, and I think Neil very kindly typed it out in the message. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. So God does create us a specific way. God calls us to this certain thing. And I can tell you that when you start learning what your thing is, that's all you see, right? Like, if your deal is justice, everywhere you look, you want to solve the matters of injustice, right? If that's your deal. If your deal is deliverance, everyone you pray for, you want to cast out a demon. You know, we heard that line before, that if you're a carpenter with a hammer, everything is a nail, right? And so that is really true. But your zeal becomes genuine. Like that, it becomes strong and genuine when you figure out, well, that's who I am, right? That's who I am. Like, I've had this thing about, and it relates to that deal about being a counselor, about being a father and all that, is I just love small groups. I love that we're in intimate settings. I love that scripture, Galatians 6:2, that bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So what I realize is I preach it so hard that people can kind of like, okay, I get it, small groups, whatever. But it's just my thing, right? Like I say, this is how we really connect with people, in small settings. It doesn't have to be the formal life group, but in small settings where we learn how to trust each other and develop intimacy, that's where, you know, we really help each other. I mean, we've been in a couple of small groups our whole life, a lot of your whole life. You know, we've got a group we've been in over 30 years. Another group over 25-ish something. I don't even know. There's something about that, that this is because this is how God created me. That's how God created my wife. And we just realize this is our thing. I want to say it's everybody's thing. Maybe that's not fair. But that's what I mean is when it's your thing, you just like, everybody needs this. This is important, right? We all need this. The point of that is when you figure out what God's called you to, that's what gives your life meaning. And so you go, this really matters. This is meaningful. This really does change your life. So that's really my encouragement to you guys. Okay. I really just want to wrap up. And I just want to say, when we figure out what God says to us personally, and particularly with our name on it, then it changes our life. There's examples in the scripture that I really love. There's an example from Jeremiah saying, you know, because Jeremiah's a prophet, right? He has this word. He's got to speak. So in Jeremiah 29, he said, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So I'm just telling you, when you land on what God has for you, you'll be running with it. And it will give you that meaning and purpose. So if you're just sort of casting around going, I don't know, I'm not sure, I'm going to go back to this is where we need that revelation from the Lord. And as we grow, you know, there is this natural kind of gifting that we have. There's this thing that we're drawn to. I mean, this is how you talk to kids about what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Well, what do you like seeing other people do? What do you enjoy when you do it? You know, there's all those kind of basic, fundamental, kind of normal ways of talking about stuff, figuring out who you are. But we really do need that revelation of Jesus saying, this is what I've called you to. This is why I created you. You know, that one of those examples of grace that we've had before is that the presence of God that gives you the power to do what he's called you to do and to be who he's created you to be. And so this is a simple message, but this is what I'm driving at, is how do we figure that out? So two things, and this is, I think, let's have Bethany and Kayla come up. The two things I'm thinking about is, one, if you're just like, I got nothing, right? You just come up and have a prayer, and the prayer is, God, bring revelation about how you created me. And we've had people over the years that God gave them something, and because it was new and no one else was doing it, they almost couldn't believe it was God, right? Because it was so crazy. But God breathed life on it. So it may not be something that you see. It may not be like me not wanting to be a preacher because I only knew what preachers did when I grew up. I don't want to be that guy, right? That just looks like no fun to me. But God breathes something else in us and we go, oh, there is life in that. So number one, if you're not sure, then you can ask for prayer and God can just speak revelation to you about that. Number two is, and this might be harder, is you may be very clear what you think God's called you to and you can't find a place for it. Or you feel like you tried and it got pushed, you know, got put down or whatever, like you got hurt. I mean, that's a difficult place to be, but that's real, right? Sometimes it doesn't exactly work the way we think it's going to work, and we're holding on to that going, now what? Who am I? And so it's still, we're asking for revelation. Then we have to sort of sift through those other things that go along with that disappointment. There's a scripture I want to read out of Psalm 105:19. And Joseph is a great example of that, that he had that clear calling, he had that clear vision. And if, I bet most of us know this story, you know, he had the coat of many colors and his brothers were jealous. But he just had these dreams about, man, I'm going to be the guy, I'm going to be the ruler. And he kept hard things, got thrown in the pit, got sold into slavery, he's in jail. And what he felt called to, he didn't have an opportunity to do what he felt called to do. In Psalm 105:19, it says this, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Another version says the Lord tested Joseph's character. So I think that's part of it too, and that's something you could pray on. It's like, I know I'm called to this, but I haven't really had opportunity or people haven't recognized it. I don't know what's wrong with everyone that they don't see this talent that I have, whatever it is. And so God tests you in that time as well. So that can be a very big deal. So this is the way I think we'll pray about it, is Lord, either reveal it to me or you've already revealed it to me. Help me to see timing. Help me to see opportunity. Help me to see what are you doing. You know, what are you up to? Because back to that 1 Corinthians, there is a place for everyone, period. God's placed us all in his body. He's given us something. Every single one of us have something that's worthwhile and meaningful. And so it's that, you know, how do we wrestle through that? How do we get there, right? So if you'll stand with me, please. We'll pray. There's some folks assigned a ministry team if you want to come down front. If you want someone to share that with you and pray for you, that's when you would come up front. You know, it just may be like, I have this burden, I don't know what to do with it, or man, I'm just not sure, I'm adrift. Well, have somebody pray for you. That'd be easy. So that's what I'm going to say, but I'm going to pray for all of us first, and then they'll have a chance for you to come up front and get some prayer. And then after a while, Chris will close us up. So, all right. Thank you, Lord. Man, Lord, I just want to speak your truth. And I ask that this would really settle in hearts. There's not a human in this room that you haven't called. There's not a person in this room that you don't know their name and that you haven't created them for you. That you haven't placed them in the body. There's not a person in this room that that's not true. So I ask you to make it alive to them, Lord. And for all of us, that you'd clarify, what is our place? What is the thing that gives us life? What is the thing that gives us meaning? As it relates to you, as we please you, as we search for you, as we want to be part of your body, as we want to be filled with your grace in this area, Lord. So I just pray over this part of your family, Lord, this part of your body that's here today. Ask for revelation. Ask for clarity and encouragement. I ask for the grace to say yes to what you're asking, Lord.